Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's Traders Mindchat Show. Alrighty, let's dive into everything here. We've got a lot to talk about with you today. We have first topic, trading as a business versus trading as a hobby. After that, we'll talk about GME and AMC. And then after that, we will start taking general questions from you guys. So as you're logging in, let me know where you're logging in from, where you're at. Type into the chat, let me know. And we'll kick things off with a discussion of trading with as a hobby versus trading as business. This has been a topic that's come up quite a bit lately, and it's the problem with trading as a hobby versus trading as a business. Most people have a trading hobby, and most people get paid like a hobby with their trading. And the problem with trading hobbies versus trading businesses is that a hobby often takes a lot of time, costs a lot of money, and doesn't pay very much. And that's what most people have. That's what I had for the first, I'd say, 10, 11 years of trading and struggling and trying to figure things out and trying to catch the latest headline and trying to take the advice from the latest guru, even tune into news and try to catch the latest thing that was trending on social media. You could often feel like you're chasing your tail when you have a trading hobby. It's a lot of fun. It's a great way to kill a lot of time, especially when you're at a job that you don't like. You could just go onto your phone, pull up the ticker, start arguing with people over which way you think that direction is going to go, and get into a trade that you like, hope for the best. Maybe you have a plan for the trade. If you have a plan for your trade, let me know. Let me know if you typically have a trading plan. A trading plan might include where you're going to enter this trade, where you're going to set a stop, where you plan on taking some profits, maybe get some risk off the table, how much you plan on putting into this trade. If that's you, if you come up with trading plans like that, let me know. Type into the chat. I'm curious to see how many of you typically have a trading plan. And if you do, that's great. That's a wonderful thing. It's the tip of the iceberg as far as what you need. Most people have plans, and their plans basically extend to what we just said. And because that's their plan, just where I'm going to get in and out and all that, they don't have a much of a plan for how they're going to even figure out, well, what am I going to buy? Right? So it's really whatever kind of floats into your consciousness that's what you're busy taking action on. And that's not much of a business, is it? If you were, I don't know, if you were selling dresses and you had a dress store, it would be kind of weird for one day you have a bin of cabbage sitting at the front of the store, right? Well, cabbage was on sale. It looked good. Figured, yeah, why not? Well, we'll just take it this time and put it right there, see if anybody buys. Well, you wouldn't do that if you were a retailer, and you shouldn't do that with your trading. Let's take a look at a couple of ideas here over on TradingView. I'm just going to pop open my screen here, and we'll take a look. Not at this one there. This is Gush's one that one of our members inquired about earlier. But let's take a look at GME, because GME has been a pretty hot topic lately, at least from my understanding. So GME ran, let's see, how much did GME run, right? Yeah, maybe some of you started to hear about GME right down here at the bottom. Well, let's assume somebody got in way down here. Let's say that you risked about 10%, a little bit more. And then you started to see GME go on an epic tear again, right? 40% or so in a day, and then it consolidates. Then it's up to about 50%. Then you get this big jump and you're up 200%, right? Another 75% just on that day. And then you have this huge parabolic move where GameStop is being halted. They halted trading multiple times on that day as it's flying higher and higher and higher. It's up 430% in just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 trading days. And you're busy sitting there looking at your social media blow up and you're like, wow, I've got to get involved in that. To be honest with you, I had absolutely no idea that this was actually a thing until I went on the StockTwits podcast earlier this week and found out that, oh yeah, the GME was doing all this, and I looked at it and like, oh yeah, I could see why people are talking about it. The reason why I was completely unaware of GME having this crazy move and all the banter on social media is because I don't listen to any of that stuff. And it might sound weird, right? Here's this guy on Twitter, or I should say X, on Instagram, has close to 90,000 followers on one, close to another 40,000 followers on another, has a YouTube channel with about 3,000 people watching. You know, this guy should probably be in the know about this stuff, but it's not about any of that. What it's about is having something that's going to pull your equity curve up steadily. And chasing the latest headline is not going to get you there. Even though this looks very enticing, right? Who wouldn't want to make 400% in 2 weeks? You know, I would, but that's not the kind of thing that's going to make you money steadily over time. What makes you money steadily over time is having a business plan for your trading. It's a lot more than just figuring out where you're going to get in, where you're going to get out, how much you're going to risk on any one trade. That's a trading plan. That's important. You need that. But what you need even more than that is the business plan. Everything that tells you how you're going to operate, the types of stocks that you're going to trade, the types of setups that you're going to take. What constitutes a great setup? What types of markets are you going to be involved in? Does the market need to be set up in a certain type of way in order for you to even participate? How much are you going to risk, and when? Are you going to begin to scale up? Are you going to scale down? In what ways are you going to exit trades? All that stuff is important. How about performance appraisals, right? You have performance appraisals at work. You need to have performance reviews for your trading. You need to have a way to figure out, well, what's working, what's not. Maybe if you had that dress store, right, and you figured out, you know what, cabbages are not working in my dress store. So you kick that out. How do you know not to do that again? Do you have a performance performance review in place? Because if you don't, maybe the next time it's not, oh, I'm not going to do cabbages again, but here's some baseballs. Here's some chewing gum, right? And you're just picking out random things when you're trying to sell dresses. That it just doesn't make sense. So when you have a business plan, you're able to think through all this stuff on paper versus just having a vague idea of what's going to work for you, what's going to make you money in the long run in your trading. And you could work it out on paper. Then you could see, does this make sense or not? If I were to hand this over to a bank and apply for a loan, what would they tell me? Would they laugh in my face? That's what you need to have for your trading. If you want to make money consistently with your trading, you need to have a trading plan. And it's not about, oh, well, I need to learn how to sell options, or I need to learn Forex, or I need to learn stocks, I need to be a growth investor, I need to be a value investor. It's not about any of that. All the strategies, all the tactics, that they all work. It's just a matter of you getting focused and figuring out, well, what am I going to do? Because you don't want to end up as the trader that's trying to sell red dresses alongside some red cabbage, right? Just because they're both red, that doesn't mean that they sell well together. Let's see, well, what else do we have? Hopefully that makes sense to you guys. Let me know what questions you have on any of that so far. If you have other questions or stocks that you want to take a look at, let me know. Type into the chat. And if you're not on our newsletter yet, make sure that you get onto our newsletter. It's given for free. We send it out multiple times a week. You could get it over at marawolf.com/newsletter. Some other trades to look at. Let's take a look at some other trades here. We have GME, we have AMC. Same kind of thing with these, right? It's just something that happens to be moving like a rocket. And shoots up, shoots right back down. And yeah, this was not on my radar at all. But there are a few of them that are on my radar, and I'll pop open this and we could walk through some of the ones that I'm in. And let me turn off the annotations here because, well, quite frankly, I like to draw all over my charts and it could get a little bit noisy. So here's one that I've been in for a little while now. This one is called Kava. Apparently, they sell Greek food, Mediterranean food. Oh, now all of a sudden there's a bunch of questions rolling in. All right. We'll take a look at Kava, and then we'll take a look at PLMR, and we'll take a look at Gush, if that's all right with you. So this is Kava. This is one that I got in back here. Now, you might say to yourself, well, what prompted me to take this trade? The thing that prompted me to take this trade was, first, I passed my fundamental screens. I want to narrow down the playing field from about 10,000 or so stocks in the market down to just a handful. After I've narrowed it down with my screening, then I want to look for the ones that are setting up in a technical pattern. There's only a handful of technical patterns that I look for. This happened to be one of them. This one was pulling back to its 50-day moving average and starting to potentially form a cup-shaped base. Now, for many of you, right, let me come over here and turn the annotations back on so I can draw for a second. A cup-shaped base looks like this, right? It looks kind of like a U. Sometimes you get a handle on it. The reason why I was able to take a look at Kava and say, you know what, this kind of looks like it may be forming a cup is because I've been looking at cups and cups with handles for about 15 years at this point. I'm dating myself. I've been trading for about 25 years. The first 10 was an absolute nightmare, but I finally started to do well when I started to focus. And one of the things was starting to look at different types of patterns, one of them being cups and cups with handles. And so when price got down here, turn off the annotations again, when price got down here, I noticed it doing a few different things that caught my attention and said, you know what? As price is reversing back through the 50-day moving average and doing that on heavier volume, right? If you take a look at that volume bar, it's heavier than all of these back here and it's closing at the top of the range. Look promising, look like a good reward to risk. So I decided to buy it there. And since that point, price has run right now it's up about 23%, a little more than 23%. Right. And this here, this is part of the game. We want to risk a little to potentially make a lot. If I turn this back on for a second, just to highlight this, hopefully you could see it there. If I make my face a little bit smaller, maybe you could see it better. I risked about 6% to make 23% so far. That's what we want to do. If you could risk a small amount to make a much larger amount, then that's something that's going to work. And you don't have to win all that often to get that to work. You could win half the time. And if you're winning 23 and you're losing 6, well, that play that game all day long, right? Let's take a look at some of those other tickers that you guys brought up. Let's see here. First one we'll do is PLMR. PLMR. All righty. So let's reset the chart. And when I'm looking at each of these, what I like to do is I like to look at them on 4 different time frames. And I'll make my face a little bit smaller again, so that way you could see it better. There we go. I like to look at charts on 4 time frames. It gives me a much broader perspective. So up here in the in this corner is a monthly chart. Over here are the weeklies. This is a daily chart, and this down here is a 30-minute chart. Now, you might be saying, well, why are all these different sizes, different levels of importance? To me, the weekly and the daily are the most important. That's where I'm looking for patterns. That's where I'm fine-tuning patterns. And then over here on the 30-minute, that's where I'm really getting super granular on trades that I'm interested in. I like to keep the monthly chart up just for perspective so I can see, well, how far has this thing run? And is it near some sort of major long-term area of support, resistance, some kind of structure? So with PLMR, right, what do you see? It's kind of getting near those prior highs from back here, right? Just broke out this week. Draw a line right there. And this is something that I like to do, right? Just draw a horizontal line across the tops or across major areas that you're considering, just so that way it makes it a lot easier when you're eyeballing it over here to look to the left of the chart and see what's going on and see where is there some sort of potential resistance. Now, if we come over here to the daily, you see a couple of things here going on, right? So price came down here and it started to round something out. Then it took that dip, came up, and then it tightened up a little bit more. And it actually broke out today. And it looks like it broke out on some heavier volume, right? There's a volume increase. It's only 118 here. I'm in New York. So what do we have? We've got about 2.5 hours left of trading on the day. Volume might be up a smidge for the week, and you're getting close. It's certainly a 52-week high, right? Well, what was this back here? That was February 23. Yeah, you had a 52-week high, and the relative strength line is also at 52-week highs. That's positive. Seems like a fairly decent breakout so far. Let's say that you got in at the pivot area. And let's say that you put your stop loss. I like to put my stops right below a swing low, right below prior support. So support would be right down here, right? You see this bar coming down and bouncing, and then that bar coming down and bouncing. You also see that purple line. For me, that purple line is the 21-day exponential moving average. I like to look at that and consider that, because many stocks throughout history, and this is part of where the business plan comes in, right? Part of your business plan is going to be your trading philosophy. Why are you taking the types of actions that you're taking? One of the reasons why I like to take the kinds of actions that I take and look at patterns kind of like this one is that historically, The biggest winners have held not just the 50-day moving average, but also the 21-day exponential moving average. I know that from studying past winners throughout history, and I also know that from studying my own trades. This one pulled back to the 21 before it launched. So now this is breaking out. And so if price rolls back over, then that means that it has a bunch of stuff that might prove to be support. You have the 5 EMA, the 10 EMA, the 21 EMA, which is now above this area, and price structure, right? So it has to go through quite a bit to stop you out at 5%. I actually like this idea quite a bit. Good job. Now, as far as Gush is concerned, Joe just brought up Gush, and he also wants to talk about MSTR. So let's take a look at those two. First, Gush. Now, here I don't see a pattern that I trade. You're welcome, I'm third. I don't see a pattern that I trade here, Joe. So this is one that wouldn't be on my radar, but we'll walk through the chart since you brought it up. So let's zoom out a bit. And you're starting to... I think that you could make a case that you're in a stage two uptrend, right? If you were with us last week, we spoke a little bit about stage types and different types of uptrends, how Stan Weinstein described them, with stage one basically moving sideways, basing. Stage two, you're in an uptrend. Stage three, you're topping. Stage four, you're in decline. But it's not just, you could just draw that anywhere, right? That you need more than that. You need the 50-day moving average and you need the 200-day moving average to both be in uptrends when you're talking about stage two. So is this still in stage two? It's actually not. Depending on how price closes today on the weekly chart, it's not in stage two because last week it was at 36. This week, 35.99. On the daily, it probably still is in a stage two uptrend. Let's see. Yeah, just eyeballing it, it looks like it is. But you're dangerously close here to moving into a stage three. Or at least moving out of stage two. And it has everything to do with the 200-day moving average. So that's one thing that I don't really like about this one. But you do have this strong run-up. You do have this pullback. It pulled back to the 100 EMA. It started to get some support around here. And it looks like, you know, if it could hold these levels down here, right, 36.5, then I think that that's an important level. Let's just say that you're in here and your stop is down there. So this is where styles matter. This is where philosophies matter. When we're clear on those things, when we're clear on our philosophies and styles, that alone adds so much clarity, because at this point, I don't know the intent of this trade. I don't know if you're planning, if you're thinking about it, if you're in it already, if this is intended to be something that's going to be held for several years, if this is intended to be a swing trade, a day trade, or what. All that stuff matters. When we're clear on those kinds of things, it helps us to either say, yes, I'm going to consider this one more. No, I'm going to kick this one off the radar and move on to the next. I think that you do have some headwinds here. You have the 50-day moving average in your face. You also have a line of resistance around 40, that Price will have to contend with. You do have some indecision here. Price pulled back to around 37 on Wednesday, reversed on increased volume, but then sold off on increased volume. And now you're still consolidating here. It seems like you probably have at least a few more sessions until Price finally picks a direction. Gosh, thought a tight stop of 37.99 might be a good stop area. So let's put this here. 37.99. So I wouldn't consider taking this today. I might be able to find one or two things that I like on this chart. Right, though, one thing that I like if I'm taking something ahead of a breakout is this right here. These are the stochastics. They start to show which way momentum is going. Right now you have momentum starting to turn up based on those stochastics. Is it enough for us to clear this level right here? Maybe it is, maybe it's not. I like to stack odds. If I'm looking for this to be a major point of resistance, then I'm going to risk 2.5% to make 3.5%. I think we could do better than that. Let's see. Well, what was your other question? You wanted to ask about MSTR too. So let's take a look at MSTR. And by the way, anybody else that's watching here, we've got, it looks like 35 people on the live stream overall between X and Twitter and YouTube. Yeah, X and Twitter are the same thing. Thank you all for being here. Make sure that you subscribe to our free newsletter if you're not already on there. Go get on the newsletter. And if you have any other questions, we're going to wrap things up soon. Make sure that you get your questions in before we wrap things up. So let's take a look at MSTR. All right, so MSTR broke out today. It broke out on heavy volume. This one actually caught my attention. And the reason why it caught my attention was a few different things. One, the first thing that I saw was, oh, this looks like it's rounding out a cup and maybe it has a little cheat area right here. And one of the reasons why I saw this as a cheat area was because price broke through the 50-day moving average on heavy volume and then pulled back on lighter volume. That got my attention because if price breaks out, it gives us a nice range to play. Great. So then something else that I saw was a potential inverted head and shoulders. Thought that was interesting. I always like when there's multiple ways to view the same pattern. It tends to draw more eyeballs to it. Then I noticed, this run up between here and there, that run up was over 100%. Maybe we've got a rocket base on our hands. Then I took a look at, well, what's the depth of this thing? And it turned out to be pretty deep, about 50%. Rocket bases are interesting. Rocket bases are broken high tight flags. A high tight flag has a pretty clear definition. That's a run up of 100% or better within a span of 8 weeks, a consolidation of about 25% over a span of no more than 5 weeks. So anything more than that can qualify as a rocket base. A rocket base is a pattern that I'm just starting to get familiar with now. My friend and coach in the Mara Elite program, Stu Chalmers, he is very familiar with rocket bases and trades them all the time. So I asked him, hey, Stu, does this qualify as a rocket base? And what do you think about it? So Stu, let me just pull up Stu's comment from yesterday because we respond to each other fairly quickly inside our Discord. There it is. So what Stu had to say, it's too deep for a max retracement and that it should be 40 to really 50% max. So it's still kind of in there, but it needs to be 100% gain to get to the all-time high. That this whole thing, it's okay. It's good, not great. And we want to be in the business of trading great, not good. The reason why is because our whole trading business should set us up for success. If you had that dress store, well, would you look to buy just, you know, this one's kind of okay. It has a hole in it. Well, we'll put it on the shelf, see if it sells. Right? He wouldn't do that, would you? Well, if you take a look at a trade and you find a hole in it, should you be buying it? No. And because I'm not the expert on this one, I saw it, I identified it, I'm trying to learn more about this kind of setup. I went to my friend who is the expert on this one, asked his opinion. He said no, pointed out some reasons why it's not good. Okay, on to the next one. Still kept it on the radar because I wanted to see what this does. Now, this one actually did break out, and it broke out on halfway decent volume, right? Pull up the 30-minute. Started to break out on above average volume for that time period. And now it's pulling back, and it's pulling back on lighter volume. At one point, the trade was up about 4%, and now it's pulling back towards the pivot. Other elements of it look okay. Sometimes trades that aren't the best work. Sometimes you could have a piece of apparel in your store that has a stain on it and somebody will buy it. That doesn't mean that we want to be in the business of selling stained clothing, and we don't want to buy stained trades either. So this one I took a pass on, but there's many others in here that I did take that weren't stained and are doing quite nicely so far. So anyhow, I think that is it for today. So again, if you are on the newsletter already, expect to hear from me soon. If you're not on the newsletter yet, make sure that you go over and subscribe to the newsletter. And until then, till next week, I want to say thank you all so much for watching. Thank you all so much for being here. It's always a pleasure talking to you guys. And I will see you all next week.
Hey, thanks so much for sticking around to the end. If you're new here, hit the subscribe button down below and become a part of the Merrill Wealth community. And make sure that you check out some of the other videos on the channel. They're exactly what you need to see. And leave a comment down below. I read all of them. Leave a comment.